So thank you, everybody, for your flexibility in moving to a different conference call number. In a second here, we're going to be sending out a link to the PowerPoint presentation that we were going through for this webinar so that you can follow along. And we'll continue to work on getting the webinar up and moving while we're talking, but we wanted to make the best use of your time and go ahead and get started since everybody is here to join us. Sure. So I'm here with Jeremy Bateman, who is our Leadership Development Associate.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad you're here. If you need to mute your phone, it's *6 on this conference line. We're just getting a couple of echoes back on this end if somebody's on speakerphone. So *6 will mute and unmute you. Another one, I think we'll get started. Sorry.
Thanks, Jeremy. We wanted to have this conference call, or this webinar, to share with you a couple of new development opportunities that are available for you as tools in your work with youth ministry in your congregation. But I'll tell you that we had expressed interest. We had to add another webinar time slot. Hopefully we'll get the kinks worked out by then. And also, I think it's just a recognition that folks are excited about working with youth and looking for ways to connect with one another and find new resources. So we have a couple of pieces that we want to talk about today, including a new book available through the UUA bookstore, the new Luminary Leaders Youth Recognition Program, a curriculum that we're working on, some pieces around General Assembly for the coming year, additional resources for you, and some other general thoughts and an opportunity to ask you all what you're seeing and what you could do to be more helpful. That's kind of the table of contents for our meeting. And I'm going to turn it over to Jeremy Bateman to talk about the new Youth Ministry Advising, a Complete Guide, available from the UUA.
So Youth Ministry Advising, a Complete Guide, was published this fall. It is, as Karen mentioned, available from the UUA bookstore. It is a successor to the Youth Advisor's Handbook. It takes some of that content and revises and updates it, but it also adds some new content. We really went into this, the creation of this resource, so that it would be useful not just for youth advisors, but also for religious educators, for adults who are committee chairs and wanting to bring youth onto their committees, other adults who are interested in working with youth in capacities outside the youth group, and those sorts of things. So while it may take more of a youth group frame on some issues, it really is, we hope, a resource for adults who work with youth in a variety of settings. So we very much encourage picking this up and want to share with you what some of the highlights are in this new resource. It contains completely new content on supporting youth leaders, both within youth groups and in your congregations. We've offered updated and expanded guidance on balanced programming, including a few sample project ideas that can be youth group projects but could also be congregation-wide endeavors. Some more information on safety, boundaries, and creating healthy groups. Updated content on the role of youth advisors in a variety of settings and how best to support youth advisors, as well as the nuts and bolts of creating and sustaining youth groups. I think that it's a little book, but it's got a lot of stuff in it that I think will be really helpful. Carrie, do you have something to add?
Well, I would just say that from the feedback that we've got already, that I think there's a real value in this book. On the one hand, in your role as a religious educator or an advisor already, because there's some good conceptual pieces that, and two of which I'm going to talk about in a second here. And the second reason is that it's very, a big part of the updating that we did was in relation to safety boundaries, safe congregation policies. It's a really great primer for youth advisors who don't have a lot of experience or awareness or understanding about, kind of what they're walking into and the ways that they need to be differentiated in order to be really good and supportive youth advisors. Hopefully at this point, you've seen that there's an email from Deborah, who's been great in finding a plan B for us here. And it should link to a PowerPoint presentation, the PowerPoint presentation we were going to use. You can just click on the link; it'll take you to a Dropbox account and automatically download the presentation that we're using. And if you're following along, if you're in front of a computer terminal following along, we're just finishing up slide number 4. And if you don't have access to a computer terminal, we'll try to kind of narrate as we go. So there are two really valuable concepts. There are a lot of valuable concepts, but there are two that we really like to share because they come with fun visuals as well. These are two concepts that were actually taken from the new Youth Ministry Renaissance module. If you've had the opportunity to experience that, if not, I highly recommend it. But we're trying to align our content here so that the book reflects what you're getting also in the training, and they support one another. So the first one I want to show you is the shared leadership spectrum, which is a way of thinking about youth leadership. It maybe is a little bit different from how things have been in the past, but as you see, as youth grow in maturity and leadership capacity, they're able to take on more leadership. And there's two things that we like to point out about this this illustration. It kind of looks like a graph, if you don't have it in front of you, with a slope going up. The first is that you'll notice that it's never all one or the other. Even at both ends of the graph, you've got at least some minimal adult participation, even if that's only holding on to legal and financial issues and helping youth leaders resolve problems and conflicts when they run into them. And that's going to be your more mature leaders. And then on the left side, at the beginning, where adults are taking on a lot more leadership, that may be for your youth group that's, largely ninth graders and don't have a lot of experience. But there's always a role for both. Both youth and adults to be exercising leadership in youth spaces. The second thing that we like to point out about this is that really, if you're going to draw this graph, you draw the youth leadership portion first. And the goal there is to really make space for youth leadership. And that's, as anybody who's worked with youth knows, that's a constant negotiation. Our youth are always growing and changing, and sometimes they have a bad week. And sometimes they have a great week, and it can change month to month, day to day. But we really recognize that it's our role as adults to try to back off when they can take on more responsibility and to urge them to do so, and to step in and make sure that we're providing them with the support they need, whether that's leadership coaching or organizational assistance, when they need it, not necessarily to make sure that nothing ever goes wrong, but that we're providing the support that they need. So that's a nice little concept that we've gotten a lot of good feedback is a good way to think about youth leadership, and like I said, it's you can find it in the book, and we urge you to share that. The second concept that I want to share, and then we're going to pause for a minute, is the web of youth ministry. Now, some of you may remember the six pillars of balanced youth ministry, which were leadership, worship, service, education, community building, and youth adult leadership. Did I get those right, Jeremy?
Youth adult partnership.
Youth adult
congregational
partnership
involvement.
And those are all really important pieces But the Web of Youth Ministry takes that and expands that to include things like pastoral care, holding up identity formation and faith exploration, and really points out how all of these different elements are interconnected. And, you know, I've heard some folks looking at the Web of Youth Ministry and saying, huh, that kind of looks like just what good youth ministry and good ministry in general looks like for people of any age. And you know, in, there's a way in which that's true. Hello?
Hi, it's Angela Clausen at Toronto.
Oh, welcome. Welcome. If you get a chance to look at the presentation, Angela, we're on slide 6. I was just saying that that's right, that youth ministry, just like ministry to people, to UUs of any ages, has a lot of dimensions to it. It requires the whole congregational community, not just a single staff person or volunteer. And it's rich and varied and interconnected. So those are two just sort of teasers. The book has a wealth of other types of information and models and ideas and suggestions and approaches. But those are two of the really cool things that we wanted to share with you that you'll find in the book. So before we move on to talking a little bit about the Luminary Leaders Program, does anybody have any questions or comments about the new Youth Ministry Advising Guide? Feel free to jump in if you have anything you'd like to share. Okay. Well, if you think of things as we go, we'll have an opportunity for a little more discussion at the end. Jeremy, why don't you tell us a little bit about, in the presentation we've got another slide about advisor resources. Do you want to talk about that real quick and then move us on to some other pieces?
Absolutely. So a couple other resources for advisors in addition to the book. We are shortly, soon, probably not today, but in the coming days, going to be putting up some new advisor pages on UUA.org for youth advisors. They will be found in the youth section, so you can go to UUA.org/youth.
We'll send you all a link directly to the page.
And that'll have resources for advisors. It's also going to feature a sort of a webinar clearinghouse, so archived webinars that are useful to youth advisors, upcoming webinars that are useful to youth advisors, as well as links to resources, project ideas, etc. So once those are up, we will make sure to send a link directly to that to you. And speaking of webinars, a couple of regions are currently doing webinar series on youth ministry and youth ministry advising that we wanted to make sure you knew about. The Central East Regional Group is doing a monthly series, which is open to folks in that region, and then if there is space available to those in other areas. So the web address is in the presentation, and I think when we send out the email, we'll do all the relevant links, just in case you're unable to access the presentation. And then the Pacific Western region is also doing a youth ministry advising series that they have offered to, on a trial basis, have open to everyone. So no matter where you are located, you can attend webinars in the Pacific Western region. And there's one coming up in November on youth-adult partnerships. That should be really good. And then a webinar in December that's part of a different series but also open on ministry with queer and transgender youth. And those things will all be posted on the webinar page on our advisor pages. And then finally, our blog, Blue Boat, is a great way to find out what's going on at the associational level, but also what's happening in congregations. We're highlighting stories of things that youth groups are doing. So that's another great way to sort of get connected.
And also, one of the things that you'll find regularly on Blue Boat is lists of opportunities for your outstanding youth leaders. So, for example, if you've got youth who might be interested in joining the staff of Youth Caucus at General Assembly, we post the applications, notification that the applications are live. We post the deadlines. So that's another good place to, because we know that a lot of youth get this information from their advisors and the religious professionals that work with them. So we just want to make sure that you all are know what's going on so that you can pass that along.
Speaking about opportunities for youth leaders, we have a new program called Luminary Leaders. It is a recognition program for UU youth. It was developed with a focus group of youth from across the country. And it is available to youth who have leadership experience at any level of the association. So maybe they're a leader in your congregation in the youth group or on a committee or as part of the religious education team. And it offers a recognition that we see the work you're doing, we affirm the work you're doing, and we'd like to encourage you to do more. And part of that encourage you to do more piece is that youth who are recognized are then invited to be involved in a variety of opportunities. When we have an application process open, for example, for Youth Caucus staff, the recognized youth leaders who have identified themselves to us will be directly notified about that opportunity. If there's a need for a focus group on program development or field testing for youth curriculum, Luminary Leaders would be directly notified about that opportunity. So it's a really exciting way to get youth more involved. Carrie, did you have something?
Another example is the new College of Social Justice.
Yes.
They're focused on social justice experiences. If you haven't heard about this cool collaboration between the UUA and the UU Service Committee, I'd encourage you to check it out at uucsj.org. But service opportunities is another example of the kind of things that we'll be able to connect our recognized, with which we'll be able to connect our recognized luminary leaders.
And the additional hope is over the coming year, 2 years, as we recognize more youth, it'll create a network for youth leaders for idea sharing, connection, and support. So that it's not just, hey, we sent you a letter and a lapel pin, even though the lapel pins are really nice. There's possibility that there could eventually be scholarship opportunities to support luminary leaders getting to UU events. There could be gatherings or recognition at General Assembly for luminary leaders. As the program develops, hoping to add more and more opportunities, it's an application-based program, rolling applications. We accept them at any time, and there's no limit to the number of youth we can recognize. So there are a couple ways that you as an advisor or a religious educator can be involved. The first is you can nominate a youth. This was a youth requested feature to the program to help encourage those youth who don't necessarily see themselves as leaders or as qualified leaders, though others in their life would recognize them as such. So you would fill out a nomination form and send it to me, and we personally contact those youth then to invite them to apply to be part of the program. You can also share the program directly with your youth, encourage them to apply, proactively offer to write their recommendation letter. I think adult support for this program will be important for encouraging youth to participate. And then also, you can be involved by helping make space in your congregation for youth to take on leadership roles that would then qualify them for this program. So taking a look at what formal leadership roles are currently open to youth, whether in the youth group or outside the youth group, and what could be opened up to youth. And I think that's sort of the program in a nutshell.
And I just want to add that, this is a program that started by responding to the calls that we heard from youth who wanted to find opportunities to connect with other UU high school students across the country, helpful, safe, efficient, effective ways of doing this. And then we spent a lot of time with our youth focus group leader, our youth focus group participants, trying to come up with a program that they thought would be helpful. So it, you know, it is it's something new, but we're really hopeful that it'll provide a great sense of build a sense of identity, as well as Jeremy mentioned, be a great way for identifying those folks and getting them connected with one another, now and over time.
Questions? Does anybody have any questions about the program? All the materials are available at uua.org/luminary. Applications, nomination forms, a more robust program description.
If we don't have any other questions there, we will press on. We're making good time despite a late start, so feel free to chime in at any point with any questions or other thoughts or comments you might have. we didn't include a slide about the handbook around bridging, but there is another publication. Well, I want to talk a little bit about curricula, and publication that hopefully you may already know about is the Bridging Handbook for Congregations. Lots of congregations use the Coming of Age Handbook, which is geared towards the beginning of the high school experience. Bridging, as you probably know, is the transition from youth into young adulthood, usually when people are graduating from high school and going on to work or to go to college or move away. The Bridging Handbook, which is a wonderful new book, it helps congregations put together a bridging program. It's smaller in scope than Coming of Age, which is, you know, takes a lot of Sundays. This could be done actually in, I think, 2 or 3 weekends, or it could be a little bit more spread out. We know that, you know, by March or April of their senior year, a lot of our youth are pretty tapped out and pretty busy. So we want to, Gail Forsythe Vail and Jessica York at the UUA, who are the two that put this together, did a great job of making that accessible. So we will include a slide about that as well in the PowerPoint and update that, also available from the UUA bookstore. Another curriculum that I want to tell you about, specifically because it is in process and we're still looking for individuals to test our draft version, is one that we're calling Building Beloved Community, and it's an anti-racism and multiculturalism curriculum for youth. In the past, there has been some pretty active engagement with race, issues of race and ethnicity and power and difference and marginalization. But it's been pretty concentrated into a few people who had been to some trainings, often only available at certain youth conferences. And we really wanted to make sure that these experiences were both available to a wider range of people and also that they were really relevant and helpful and geared towards what high school students are learning and seeing right now in the world today. This is a program that we've been developing over the last few months. It's about 10 hours of curriculum, but we're going to offer a couple of suggestions of ways you can do it. It can be done by a single youth group over the course of a couple Sundays, so maybe a month, or it can be done as a weekend or two weekends in a row. You could do it as a lock-in. You could do it as a small little cluster conference with a sister congregation down the road. Or you could use it for a full-blown youth conference of 30, 50, 100, 150 people to engage in with some of these questions. It's there's some multimedia pieces to it. It's very activity-based, so it's not too, you know, just talking at people. It's supposed to be able to be done by facilitators without a huge amount of past experience. It's intended to be facilitated by a youth and adult team. So there's a lot of options for ways to be able to use this content for youth groups and congregations who want to engage in these questions with high school students. So if you are interested in being a field tester for this fall, for this program this fall, for all or part of it, please, please, please send me an email. You can contact the youth at UUA.org, or you can contact me directly at C, as in Carrie, McDonald, McDonald, at UUA.org. So those are two curricular pieces. Does anybody have any questions about either of those, some of the content or what's covered or what they would be useful for?
Hi, this is Jen calling from, and I'm wondering if there's training required to lead this curriculum, or is it just self-explanatory in its content?
Thanks for that question, Jen. Training is not required. However, I will tell you that we are aware of the it's a challenge. It can be challenging to facilitate a workshop like this. The curriculum is designed with things like scripts and other multimedia pieces that can be brought in, so that we're not relying on the facilitators to deliver the information. They're kind of structuring the activities, posing the questions. We're also creating an accompanying facilitator's guide and some suggestions for how facilitators can prepare so that they're not walking into a situation. We want to set them up to succeed. They're not walking into a situation that's going to be outside their capacity. And finally, we're going to have the ability for people who are interested in leading parts of this curriculum to check in with some staff people if they do have questions before, or if you spread it out during or after the training. We were trying to straddle that line between helping facilitators get the support that they need to have a good experience and for participants to have a good experience, and also have it be accessible. So it's a little bit of a departure from some of the have to be a licensed trainer like OWL, but we're hopeful. That's part of what we want to know from the field testing. Does that answer your question?
Yes, great.
Great. Other questions?
All right, well, if there are no other questions, I wanted to talk a little bit about General Assembly, which may feel like it's far, far off, but one of the things we learned last year, and we're using last year as a good example because we had over 300 youth in attendance, is that the groups that were most successful in getting large numbers of folks to turn out for General Assembly started planning in the fall. So we wanted to give you some information about General Assembly, some things that might be of interest to your youth to get those thoughts sort of percolating. So General Assembly this year is in Louisville, June 19th through 23rd. And one thing that was really successful last year for groups that turned out was there were a lot of groups who fundraised together to bring 7, 8, 10 people to General Assembly. And to sort of encourage and support that endeavor this year, we're going to have a limited number of grants available for groups who are fundraising together as groups to attend General Assembly. There are also individual scholarships available for youth, but we now have these grants to help support group attendance. Another thing that's currently happening is the program proposals for the workshops that are going to happen at General Assembly, those are happening right now. And one of the things that I'm really excited about is there's definitely a desire for workshops that are not just about youth ministry issues, those are also welcome, but workshops that are facilitated by youth or by multi-generational teams that include youth about a variety of issues, not just youth-specific things. So if your youth group is doing something really engaging and they want to bring that to General Assembly and share that with a multi-generational audience and help them figure out how to do something similar in their own congregation, that would be welcome. Those proposals are due on November 1st, but I wanted to sort of put that out there in case there's something that's sort of in the back of your head that it might be a great thing for your youth to propose a workshop.
Let me just share two very brief stories from General Assembly in Phoenix. As most of you probably know, General Assembly, which is the annual business meeting of the association and also has a lot of worship and workshops, was focused around justice issues and immigration in particular, because we were in Phoenix, Arizona this year. And as Jeremy mentioned, the 300 youth attendees we had was about double what we had the previous year. And we believe, when we look at the numbers, a large part of that youth increase was groups that were fundraising to go together. I mean, I think we had five or six congregations that sent more than 10 youth through their groups. So, you know, there's a video, and I'll include this video link as well, that the UU World did with a group from Minnetonka, Minnesota, I believe, talking to these youth about how transformative their experience was. And a lot of that was the powerful work and justice that was done, but also just having youth who were so excited to be there and had worked so hard, I think was a great experience. They felt very welcomed at General Assembly as a whole, and it was really positive, and we want to carry that momentum going forward. So recognizing that youth groups are a big key to the success of youth groups who plan and attend together are a big key to the success of youth caucus and youth participation in general GA, that's part of our logic for offering grants to groups. And then I also want to tell you, Jerry mentioned about workshops, which I know can seem a little bit far off, but I attended a workshop last year at General Assembly that was hosted by the youth group from the UU Church of Alexandria, Virginia. Alexandria or Arlington?
It might have been Arlington.
Might be Arlington, one of the suburbs of Washington, D.C. And they had done this video documentary project talking to youth from a variety of groups about how they thought about themselves as UUs, and it was just really fascinating. And the youth group themselves had made this a big project and had learned so much about video editing and about how people think and talk about these about their UU identity. And it was just really cool to see these high school students sharing that work that they had done. And people were really excited about it. So it's not as it's very doable, and I highly encourage those of you who think you might be interested to consider it. And we are absolutely available to help people consult about, you know, if you have questions about that, or if you'd like us to one-on-one talk to you a little bit about what you're thinking and give you some feedback from what the people who select workshops might say. We're happy to do that as well.
So more information obviously will be made available about GA in the coming months. I wanted to tell you a little bit about what we did last year and then ask for some feedback. Last year, the Youth Caucus deans, so the Youth Caucus is run by two youth who then manage a larger staff, but they taped an invitational video that we made available on UUA.org. They also made themselves available to Skype with youth groups who were interested in talking a little bit more about GA, weren't really sure. They wrote a couple of blog posts, and they created a brochure about what youth could expect, and sent that along to some of the cons that were happening in the fall and early spring. Those are some of the things that happened last year, and my question for you is, what would you like to see or would you need to see this year around GA to share with your youth? I can bring that to the deans to have them consider what information they want to make sure gets put out.
I really like the Blue Boat blog, and I think that's something that I would encourage you to use as a means of communicating, and I will encourage all of our youth to subscribe to it. I encourage the youth advisors, but it's just something that youth you would encourage youth to subscribe to as well, or?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Any other thoughts on what you would want to see in terms of communication from us about General Assembly? Do you all feel like you know where the information is on GA is stored on the UUA website? You know, things like how to find out what's on the schedule and where, you know, what the new presenters are. I'll tell you that the Ware lecturer, which is the big speech this year, is a gentleman named Eboo Patel. Eboo Patel is a huge champion of interfaith work with youth. They do a lot of work with college students, but for young people in particular, his group called the Interfaith Youth Corps out of Chicago does a lot of work promoting social justice, you know, volunteering and service as a way of connecting with people from different faiths, as a model for pluralism in a divided world. His book, Acts of Faith, was the UUA Come and Read last year and really hit home the notion that we have to invest in our adolescents, because that's when they're making some big decisions about the allegiances that they want to carry with them for the rest of their lives. And he's got a new book out now called Sacred Ground. Sacred Ground. That's also, I've heard great things about. So he's kind of he's a perfect speaker to appeal to a younger audience. Another thing about GA. Well, our final point that we wanted to share with you today is just about our office's general approach to outreach with religious educators and youth advisors. We have over the past year been trying to build up a lot of fill a lot of gaps in the resources that we have. That's why we got our blog started. That's why we revised the youth advising guide, all in response to demands from people like yourselves in the field and from other youth leaders that we're in contact with. And now that we have this, we're on more solid ground with what we have on the website and on the blog and in our print resources, we are really trying to reach out to people to build up our everyday contact with them. So webinars like this are one way that we're doing that. We'll try to do more of these since the reaction was so strong. And another way is, I don't know if you all are members of the Liberal Religious Educators Association. Youth advisors can be members as well. I'm a Lareda member. And Lareda has these, which is the professional organization for UU religious educators, has some, they call them professional interest groups, and one of them is around youth ministry. And we're going to be partnering with Lareda this year to reinvigorate the youth ministry professional interest group. And for people who are really excited about youth ministry in their congregation, or they supervise a youth staff person, then is a great chance to connect with some of your colleagues. Will any of you be in Williamsburg for the Lareda Fall Conference?
Yep, yes, I will be. I'm Andrea.
I will.
This is Sherry from San Antonio. I'll be there.
Andrea, Sherry, for both of you, we're going to have for anybody who's interested in the youth ministry professional interest group and sort of a brainstorming idea of what directions it could take, we're going to try to get lunch on Saturday, I believe. We'll put up some posters, but I'm happy to keep you in the, send you an email to tell you what the details will be, because we're just trying to figure out what would be the most helpful way to get that started.
Great, thank you.
Sounds good.
Problem. This conference call has been a lot of Jeremy and I talking, but I really would like to hear what else you would like to see from us at the UUA, or from your field, your district and field staff. We're working very closely with them. What you'd like to see that would help you do your jobs and fulfill your roles better with regards to youth ministry. We're really open to a lot of ideas, topics for future webinars. We really want to know what you'd like to see. So I'm just going to throw that question out there and open the floor.
I've got one. This is Andrea again. I'm in Winnipeg, in Canada. What I would find helpful, and what I see on the Laredo list as well recently, a few questions, is examples of youth worship. We've got the most youth advisors we've ever had this year, but only one of them has ever been to a con. And youth worship is something that we're having trouble kind of fitting into our schedule. And I think part of that is there's less of a comfort level from the adults even around how both examples of different types of youth worship, because we know it's different. Some of us have attended youth worship but haven't necessarily planned it, but also ideas on how to encourage youth involvement in planning the worship when many of them have never seen an example of worship other than what they see upstairs on a Sunday morning. So any kind of resources that either provide an outline or provide advice to advisors about how to work with youth for planning, that sort of thing, I think would be really helpful.
Excellent. That's a good suggestion. I heard you talk about examples of outlines or advice for advisors or presumably any other types of, pictures or videos or things like that. We can definitely work on that. Thank you for that suggestion.
That'd be great.
And I will also note that there's a little bit of advice and information on structure in the Youth Ministry Advising Guide, but I hear the need to have some more distinct, in-depth resources for advisors working on youth worship.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Leah from Albany.
Hi, Leah.
And hi. I wanted to share that we are going to be having a leadership conference coming up the first week in November that's going to be led by one of our regional district staff. Regional staff, and
it's Evan
Carville Zimmer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is something I think new that she's creating on healthy youth groups, and it's about I think a lot of it is about the relationship between and among youth leaders, advisors, and DREs.
Mm-hmm.
At least I'm hoping that's a lot of what it's going to be about. But I thought it might be interesting for you folks at the UUA to connect with Evan after she gets this rolling a little bit. And if you'd like, I can give you feedback, too. Because for me, we've been struggling with connecting the youth to the congregation and actually having them do projects and things like that. But I think we need to work out the relational things first.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I've actually already had a conversation with Evan, and I knew that she was working on these, so that's good to hear. We'd love to hear some feedback about how that went. Would it be helpful? Do you feel like you need materials to give to the other adults in your congregation or some examples?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it'd be nice if it wasn't just me, if there was, if I had other voices. Thanks.
Absolutely. feel free to jump in.
Well, I'll jump in. This is Jen from Pittsburgh. We are also hosting a cluster youth leadership training offered by Evan at the end of November. So I will I'll keep you posted as to how it serves our needs, and I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Thanks, Jen. And I want you to know I grew up in the Ohio Meadville District and spent many many nights at your church in Pittsburgh. I know it well.
Uh-huh.
Other thoughts or ideas?
Hi. I'm Monica. I'm calling in from Miami, Florida.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, sorry, I wasn't sure if you could hear me. I have a question really quick. Our youth program is very small. We have about 2 kids that are attending, that are interested in attending. We've reached out in many, many ways. We don't actually really have other youth in the congregation, and I'm curious if there are any resources available on how to have a dynamic program with so few kids.
So this is a question that we get every so often, and one I mentioned those advisor resources we're hoping to get up on the webpage soon. And one of those things is what your youth ministry programming could look like with groups of different sizes, and it offers some ideas of things you can do if you only have 2 or 3 youth. And because that it's obviously a very different sort of setup than some place where you have 20 or 30.
Right.
You know, it might be that your role, and the youth ministry advising book talks about this a little too. You know, if you've got 2 or 3 youth, your role as an advisor might be to convene a monthly lunch for those youth to connect with each other and then help them find other places in the congregation where they're interested and engaged and want to be involved. With a smaller group, an advisor or religious educator in terms of youth ministry, from my perspective, really is more in the role of ally and advocate for helping them find their space in the congregation. But then also providing some opportunity for them to get together with one another to have some peer time, but not in a structured way like a youth group would meet.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Other questions? Any other thoughts? Well, if there are no other thoughts, then we will sign off. We have, you all probably know, we are very easy to reach at youth@uua.org, or you can always call our office at 617-948-4359. We're here during normal business hours. We try to be as responsive as we can, send people in the right direction, even if we don't have the answers that you're looking for. As I said, we're hoping to build up our networks and contacts and relationships with religious educators and youth advisors all over our association this year. I just want to close with a big thank you to all of you for taking time out of your no doubt busy schedules to learn a little bit more about some of the tools that we've worked hard to develop that'll hopefully make your jobs easier and more fruitful. It just speaks to your commitment to youth ministry. I felt better about the world looking at our oversubscribed webinars and how many people were excited about this. We get excited about it every day. But it's wonderful to see that reflected in the people that we're trying to serve. So I thank you all very much for your time. Please do be in touch. We're going to send out an updated link with advisors.